Radio friends, I ask that you take out your Bible today and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. The church father Augustine, in his Confessions, explains at length his battle against the lust of sexual sin. Augustine's Confession, by the way, is a book well worth your obtaining in your reading. He writes in his Confessions that so great was this sin to him that he found himself praying to God, "Give me chastity, but not yet." The deceit and promises of fornication and adultery held tenaciously in his flesh, and it was only the grace of God in God's Word which gave him release. He explains in his Confessions that it was while reading Romans 13, verses 13 and 14, that the Spirit of God worked mightily in him. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the lusts of the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." The war against the lusts of sexual sin is serious and difficult and sobering and real to the child of God. Real for youth, real for adults, real for the married, and real for children, for all of us. That is true, we say, because of the world in which we live, and there is, of course, truth in that statement. The very idea of sexual fidelity and faithfulness in marriage, the very idea of purity in single life, that the sexual union belongs exclusively in marriage, and that marriage is a lifelong bond, these thoughts are trashed. Biblical purity is an offense to this world, and the world does its utmost to stamp it out. That's because the world despises God. Make no mistake, the delight and the acceptance of what the Bible calls uncleanness is only a symptom. The Apostle Paul puts his finger on the problem in verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God." The sexual perversity of our society is not a revolution against previously held morals. It's a revolution against God. It is a despising of God himself. But you see, the world in which we live is no excuse for us, because the Bible shows us that our problem is not, first of all, the world in which we live, but the problem is, first of all, ourselves and our sinful flesh. The problem does not begin outside of ourselves in pornography, magazines, X-rated movies, the internet, or the woman next door, but within. We read in the Scriptures, Matthew 15, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." And that is the concern of God, first of all, within. And there is only one power to subdue that, and that's the grace of God. And where the grace of God has created that difference, then there will be the desire to be sexually pure. The desire of David in Psalm 51, the psalm of repentance over his sin of murder and adultery, when he said, "Wash me clean within." What is the will of God then for you? For you whom he has purchased in the blood of his Son, and you who by grace confess him. What is the will of God for you as a young person? What is the will of God for you as a child? 11, 12, 13. What is the will of God for you as an adult, as a married person? The will of God for you is sexual purity. In the day of the Apostle Paul, the Christian saints in Thessalonica, as well as in Corinth and Philippi, lived in the Greek Roman culture, which not only practiced every form of sexual immorality, but deified it, made it a god. The apostle says in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 4, that we are to live not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. You see, not only was fornication, pornography, and all uncleanness readily available in the city of Thessalonica, where the Christians lived, but for the heathen it was considered a sacred duty. It was considered an act of worship for their gods. The Greek and the Roman temples were staffed with prostitutes. Imagine the temptation and the pressure upon the young converts of Christianity coming out of such a life. The apostle therefore speaks bluntly to young people, to men and women of his day, and he says, "This is the will of God, not that you be conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Romans chapter 12. This is the will of God, your sexual purity. You see, the true gospel of Jesus Christ did not compromise. It did not adjust itself to culture. It did not begin to philosophize with culture and talk about sexual preferences and all the rest. And the church of the apostles' day did not form committees to investigate sexual tendencies. But the gospel was glorious. For the gospel planted the cross right in the middle of a person's life, and said, "The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We read in this book of 1 Thessalonians that the Thessalonian Christians were characterized by an eager anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ. In this paragraph that I've referred to now, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8, the apostle teaches us that our hope of the world to come must not make us forgetful of the importance of this present life. We must have our lives in line now with the life which shall be ours. There must be no inconsistencies. And that means that it must be a life which is pleasing to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, "For as much then, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." The Christian life is not simply that we have a view of eternal salvation and do not concern ourselves with the present life. The Christian does not live with a view to obtaining the maximum amount of satisfaction for himself in this life, and then anticipating the maximum amount of satisfaction in heaven, but the Christian lives his life right now to please God. Then he says in verse 2, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." The word commandments there is a military term. It's orders. It's the charge or the order given by the commander to the troops. Christ, to us, issues orders, we who are upon the earth. He is the great leader, the champion of our salvation, and he issues orders to us in the battle of faith for our deployment, for our obedience. You see, it does not belong to us to make decisions as to how we are going to serve God, whether we are going to be obedient and live after holiness, or whether we're not. You see, the Christian doesn't say, "Well, holiness is a good idea, but in this circumstance it doesn't really help." No, the Christian lives his life this way: "I am the servant of God, and the Lord lays upon me his will." And what is his will? His will is your sexual purity. "For this is the will of God," verse 3, "even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Let that sink down. "For this is the will of God." The will of God in the Scripture is, first of all, God's eternal purpose. That is what God planned before he created the world, what the Bible calls God's good pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1 is a commentary on the will of God. we read there that before the foundation of the world, before God created, he chose us in Christ. And having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So from eternity, God chose to save a people in Christ for the glory of his name. But what was his will for these people? God predestinated us to be chosen in Christ, to be the adopted children of God, but for what purpose? Well, we read there in Ephesians 1 that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is the will of God, says the apostle, your sanctification, that you be holy. The word sanctification is to be made holy by the Spirit of Christ given in your heart. God's purpose in his election of eternal grace, God's purpose in the redemption in the blood of his Son, was that we be a people who are holy, separate from the world, consecrated unto him in love. Now, the will of God also refers to God's command. It's God's eternal purpose, yes, but it's also his will in the sense of command, for he is God. He is the Lord. We have been purchased in the blood of Christ, and therefore his will is our command, our delight. And what is that will? His will is your sanctification. Sanctification, as I said, means to be made holy, the work of God in us by which we are made dedicated to God in love. One of the simplest and clearest explanations of sanctification is given in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. There we read Paul saying to the Galatian believers, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Christ formed in me. That's sanctification. That was the holy passion of the Apostle Paul. Is it yours? My thoughts, desires, goals, interests, time, friends, attitudes, words, all to be like him, that Christ might be seen in me. Now, what is the will of God for you? What was the purpose that God had in mind when the Son of God was given to bleed upon the cross for our sins? What commandment does he now bring to you in your life? Sanctification. That you be holy in your life, that Christ be formed in you. That's the will of God for you. Sometimes we ask the question, what does God want in me? What is his will for me? Have you ever asked that question? What is the will of God for me? Maybe as a young girl you ask, does God want me to be an oddball at the school? Made fun of? A social outcast? Unaccepted? Well, the answer is, if all of that comes to you in the way of obedience to your God and a desire to be pure, chaste, and holy, then the answer is yes. Yes. That's what God wants. You ask the question, does God want me to be single? Well, if the young man or the young woman you put your eye on is not godly, then the answer is yes. At least for now, yes, that's the will of God. You ask the question as a man, does God want me to pass up this promotion? What's the will of God? What an opportunity, an advancement in my work. Does God want me to still live in a two-bedroom house with these bunk beds for the kids? Well, here's the answer. If that promotion comes at the expense of obedience, if the advanced income comes at the expense of obedience to God and at the expense of your wife being home with your little children, then the answer is yes. Yes, God wants you to live in that two-bedroom house with those bunk beds. You ask the question, why does God send this trial into my life, this struggle, this thorn? Why? Why this sickness that's affecting my whole family, our whole life? Why the sickness of my child? Why does it have to be this way? The answer? your sanctification, that you be holy, that God work in you a beauty of holiness. Now, specifically, the apostle says that the will of God is our sexual purity, for the apostle works it out and says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The word fornication here refers to any form of sexual uncleanness. Usually in Scripture, it is a word which refers to sexual activity outside of a marriage covenant. Fornication is the arousal of sexual desires outside of a marriage bond. It may be the heavy petting, the touching, and the leading to arousal of sexual desires. It's looking at a pornographic magazine. It's the suggestive talk. It's the jokes. It's the innuendos about sexual uncleanness. Fornication is any kind of unmarried fooling around, and you know what I'm referring to. We must be warned in the Word of God. We must be warned in the light of the recent national scandal concerning this, that we too can become technicians of language, saying that all that matters is, well, what does is mean? We can invent arbitrary rules for ourselves to allow for some things and not for others, to put up our own lines about how far we can go, what really is base and sinful. God's word is straight. God's word is blunt. The intentional arousal of sexual desires outside of one's wife or husband is fornication, is uncleanness, is sin. Abstain from fornication, says the apostle. That's the will of God. The word abstain means don't play, don't tantalize, abstain, hold yourself back from. For instance, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Acts 15:29, abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. To hold oneself. That's what the word means. It means that the calling of the child of God is to see ourselves as one who belongs to the Lord. And when being pulled away from the Lord by lust, to hold by faith to the integrity and to the purity that is ours in Christ. We read 1 Corinthians 6, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Abstain is the conscious walk of faith. It's the faith which says, I am His. Virtue is not cowardice. Virtue is courage. Virtue is not, well, what if someone finds out in the church? What if I'm caught? Virtue is not that. It's faith. Faith in God, in Christ. Faith says, in Christ I have a great good. I have a precious thing. I belong to Him. My body is the Lord's temple. It's not Satan's pornography center. My body belongs to the Lord and to my wife or husband. I hold it in honor. The apostle goes on. Now he begins to apply the will of God of sexual purity to marriage. Verses 4 and 5. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. I say the apostle is speaking there about marriage when he refers to vessel in verse 4, to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. He's referring to the wife. It becomes very plain when we see, first of all, the translation could read this way, or should read this way, that every one of you should know how to take his vessel. And often in the scriptures refer to a man who takes to himself a wife. Paul is not talking about how one views now their own body as the vessel of God. That's true. But he's referring to how a man conducts himself towards his wife, the vessel that God has given. We read, for instance, in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." God has given to us marriage. That's a sacred gift. And the Bible says that the wife and the husband, then, are vessels intended one for each other. Now, what is the will of God for our life? Well, the will of God is that we live in marriage in purity. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Now here, the Word of God is telling us how we should marry and how we should live in marriage. The Word of God is telling us that there's a right way and there's a wrong way to view your wife. You must not view her in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That was verse 5. The lust of concupiscence refers to the passion of overwhelming desire. The apostle says the Gentiles, the heathen, apart from God, how do they view a wife? Well, they view them in terms of what they want, when he wants it, in terms of himself and of his pleasure. The wife is simply an object to satisfy his own passions and his lust. Rather, says the apostle, you must view your wife in sanctification and honor. It means that you view your wife as Christ views the church and gave himself for her. You honor her, you value her, you know her worth. Honor your wife as the gift of God given to you to nurture and to cherish. Delight yourself in her. That's your calling. That's the will of God for you in marriage, to honor your wife. Now, who's going to teach these things to your sons? The world? Well, the world is very blunt and very bold in teaching them to view women in the lust of concupiscence and the passion of overwhelming desire. Who's going to teach them? That's your calling, husband. And young men, are you ready for marriage? Are you ready to receive a wife in sanctification and honor? What's there different about you as a young man? The Christian father, hopefully, is going to ask you. He's going to say, I don't want my daughter with any young man. What's there different about you? This is the will of God for you. Sexual purity. Let's return to this passage next week, the Lord willing. Our Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt bless the instruction of thy word unto our souls. Amen.